Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel again. So I was commenting on Dmitry Medvedev's shocking outburst the other day when he said that the United Kingdom is effectively at war against Russia, and as the United Kingdom is arming the Ukrainians, therefore it would be right for Russia to kill a British military personnel and indeed civilian officials. So quite staggering. It's because the British Foreign Secretary was visiting one of the Baltic republics, I forget which, James Cleverly. And Cleverly said, he was asked a question, is it right for the Ukrainians to attack into the Russian Federation? And Cleverly, he's saying, the Ukrainians are entitled to do so. You know, legally and morally, this is not an exact quotation. So the United Kingdom is not assisting them in that, not ordered to do that or anything like that, but certainly would have no objection. And in the response to this, that's when Medvedev said that. So Medvedev is no inconsiderable voice. He's the former president of Russia. He was the Russian head of state from 2008 to 2012. He then did a job swap with Putin. He stood down as president after 1 4-year term. He became prime minister again, and obviously previously held during the Medvedev presidency, Putin had been prime minister, because as Putin's way of circumventing the constitution, which limited him to two presidential terms of 4 years apiece. And he changed the constitution to say, well, that means two consecutive, come back for a further two consecutive elongated terms. Was it 6 years apiece? And they've zeroed it again through a constitutional change. So it's quite staggering. So another thing is Medvedev, he's currently secretary of the Russian National Security Council. But he's made a bit of a name for himself with these outbursts, which might seem clownish, this jingoism, talking about nuclear weapons and so on. So he's trying to sort of out-patriot Putin, speaking with swagger. Putin had him as his temporary successor, partly because he's the only man in Russia who's even shorter than Putin. Okay, not quite, because Putin's about 5'4". This guy's about 5'2". Not that there's anything wrong with being of modest stature. You could be a very short person and very psychologically well-adjusted. You could be extremely tall and very, you know, maladjusted. So neither here nor there. But there is such thing as short man syndrome. Not saying that most short men have it, but these two do. And tens of thousands of Ukrainian civilians have paid with their lives to try and assuage this crushing sense of inadequacy that Putin and Medvedev feel. I wouldn't be too perturbed about it, because obviously, you know, the Russian military is very incompetent. They've obviously murdered people abroad, civilians abroad, Russian dissidents, foreign citizens, such as, that woman who was killed, they're trying to kill Sergei Skripal, Alexander Litvinenko, a British citizen at the time of his murder, and so on. So that they have the capacity to carry these things out. But so the diplomats have been expelled. It's a bit more difficult than it was. They've got to concentrate very much on fighting Ukraine. And if they did, what would the riposte be? I mean, the United Kingdom might be smart enough not to say, right, we're hitting back, do whatever it is. And I did hear from a Ukrainian source the other day that although these are Western governments that said, oh, our weaponry mustn't be used to attack into the Russian Federation, some of them, someone said to me, well, but TASS is saying, go ahead, we don't mind. And already the Freedom of Russia Legion, which launched an incursion into Belgorod region adjacent to Ukraine about a week ago, they were using some American manufactured military vehicles, not tanks, were they? Armor personnel carriers or something like that. So it's already happened. And Medvedev is particularly miffed about these Russians were suffering from the Storm Shadow missiles, which the United Kingdom has furnished to Ukraine. But so there we are. It's clearly hurting them, the Russians. Otherwise, why would they be complaining about it? And not being Russophobic in the least, you know, we've got Russian friends, which this war weren't happening. And obviously Russians are suffering too. It's all the fault of the Russian regime. I realize it's difficult to see that if you are Russian, especially when you're force-fed propaganda 24/7. But this is escalatory rhetoric from Medvedev. So Medvedev was saying that these people could be considered legitimate targets. He didn't say that they were going to be killed or urge them to be killed. But anyway, it's quite staggering he said that. But the concomitant of that is, therefore, you know, Russian military personnel and politicians, bureaucrats, and so on, would also be permissible for the British armed forces to kill. Now, I don't want to see that happen. I would like the war to end right now by Russian unconditional withdrawal. I wish it never started in the first instance. So, I mean, a small war is not as bad as a big war, and I really don't want it to spread. I really don't think it's going to spread. If Russia can't even defeat Ukraine with 40 million people, how on earth can they defeat NATO with 800 million people? Now, some people say the nuclear threat is not as grave as we thought because, you know, Russia only spends a quarter on the maintenance of its nuclear arsenal that the United States spends on the maintenance of its nuclear arsenal. And bear in mind that the Russian nuclear arsenal is bigger, something like 6,000 warheads. So how on earth do they keep them serviceable? Presumably, they don't. As a lot of their vehicles at the beginning of this war were just not roadworthy, let alone being able to go off the road. Two of them were breaking down at technical faults. They weren't maintained, their equipment. So, and the Kinjal missiles, the much vaunted Kinjal missiles, Putin was very keen to throw those off. And now they're battlefield tested, announcing with huge fanfare on the news that they've been tested successfully in the Barents Sea and so forth. Kinjal, meaning dagger, because you stab down so fast, you know, nothing can stop it. But they're $10 million a pop, and they've been used against Ukraine, and some of them shot down by much cheaper missiles. So they can be shot down. And presumably, the United States is not giving its very latest military technology to the Ukrainians. So the United States is keeping better missile defenses in reserve. But obviously, one can't be too cocksure, because if even one nuclear missile gets through, that could be bye-bye New York or London or any major city. But as someone else observed to me, you know, the United States has got like a dozen major cities. Russia's got one. Russia is so centralized as a vulnerability. If one city's taken out, that's like 90% of the elite. And, all its financial sector, the best universities, the best everything, really. Whereas the United States, other countries, is a bit more diffuse. So anyway, I'm trying to breathe easy. These things are having less and less effect. They're just growing accustomed to them. But, you know, they'd be like the boy who cried wolf, because it's losing its power to shock. So you mustn't use this nuclear threat too readily, because it wears out. And each time we hear it, we grow more accustomed to it and start to simply shrug it off. So obviously they're worried about this coming Ukrainian counteroffensive. And I was thinking, as the Russians apparently built quite tough defenses, isn't the answer to actually attack over the border into Belgorod region and then flank the Russians that way where they're not expecting it? A bit like the Maginot Line. Don't attack into the Maginot Line. Go around. And then the Russians, they can't go forward because they'll be going into their own defenses. They'll be trapped and cut off their retreat supplies and so on. So thank you so much for watching my channel. So please donate on PayPal at georgecallahan79@gmail.com or subscribe on Patreon. Goodbye, everyone.